Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 73, the third paragraph, starting with psychologists are inclined, finishing with chance for recovery. Today's readers are, we have Joanne L. for the 12 Steps, Jan L. for the 12 Traditions, Luann C. reading the passage in the Big Book today, Becca R. for Vision for You, and Shelley E. for Backup. The reference numbers for Tuesday, January 21st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,096, that's 22,096. And for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 22,103, that's 22103. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our cover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA, please.
Oh, good morning, everyone. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island. I'm recovering one day at a time, and welcome to the newcomers. And thank you, my chairperson. I'm so sorry I don't have your name for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for having me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Next up is Jan L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone on the line, and everyone for doing 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group ought to be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Jan L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 73. This is the third paragraph, starting with psychologists are inclined to agree with us, finishing with their chance for recovery. And I now ask, we've got Luann C. to please read and share on that paragraph.
Good morning, Donna, and thanks to everybody who's doing service. My name is Luann C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. We have spent thousands of dollars for examinations. We know but few instances where we have given these doctors a fair break. We have seldom told them the whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. Unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic men, we were honest with no one else. Small wonder many in the medical profession have a low opinion of alcoholics and their chance for recovery. So, yeah, I mean, God bless therapists and counselors and psychiatrists. I mean, you know, they do a great service in this world, and I have used them, you know, quite a few times in my life for crisis moments to get through crises. And I would get some tips, and that would keep me moving along. And you know, I'm so grateful for that. But I had no idea how to be honest about what. I mean, I could be honest about the crisis, but I had no idea what was driving it. You know, I could identify that my daughter was leaving home and I was like in panic, or that I had left my family early on and regretted it every day of my life, or I had allowed myself to be in an abusive relationship, you know, but what did food have to do with all those? I didn't know how to be honest. But, you know, I mean, I would have needed Freud himself to get to the bottom of what was going on in my life. So, you know, that's just where it was at. So I just kept muddling along with the current problems and these, you know, occasional helps. And then I would go on diets for what I thought was the real problem. And I just had no idea. And I don't think the therapist did either, that food would be the linchpin. And, you know, I kind of luck out that I'm not rich because I needed the grace of God and I needed it for a dollar. So, you know, that's where I lucked out and found myself here, you know, in recovery. So now I know how to be honest. And so if I do need outside help, I know how to be honest so that I can help this person help me. But without this program and this fellowship and this process, I was getting nowhere fast. And I'm just so grateful today. And, you know, I just pray, you know, as all of us are here today, that, you know, we're lined up at the time clock and we're clocking in to go work for God out there. And, you know, I just hope we all hear what he wants us to hear so we can be helpful in the world today. And thank you for being here and letting me share and just helping me get this recovery. I'm just so grateful I have a new life. Thank you very much. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. All right, so we'll take names to share. I ask that you please give me your first name, your last initials, your location, and please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, then please allow others to share.
Sonia H., California.
Thank you, Sonia.
Becca R., Kentucky.
Becca R.
Barbara S., New York.
Barbara S.
Alexis F.
Alexis F. From where?
F. As in Frank.
Okay, got that. Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
All right, great. Thanks. All right, we'll start with this lineup. I have Sonia H., followed by Becca R., Barbara S., and Alexis F. So if everyone please mute yourselves, and we'll start with Sonia H., and followed by Becca R., please. Go ahead, Sonia.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. I wanted to thank everyone for their service today. Sonia, compulsive overeater. You know, as a medical professional, you know, prior to recovery, you know, I felt like a fraud because I needed to try to tell patients how to control their compulsive overeating, but I didn't even have the answers for myself. You know, diet, you know, exercise, you know, this amount of time a day and eat this. And, you know, it was just words that were coming out. And all the time I'm like, how can I deliver this message to people that obviously it wasn't working for me? Like you can see that it wasn't working for me. And, you know, just the awareness, I love what it says on here. It's like the unwillingness to be honest, the unwillingness to follow the advice. I was unwilling to follow the advice that I was giving to other people. You know, I was incapable of following the advice, let me just put it that way, because of this disease. And I had a very low opinion of myself and of others' ability to recover. But after coming into Overeaters Anonymous, you know, that opinion has changed, that there is a solution, that I was able to show that there was a solution by just continuing to be a part of my program and to offer that solution to others and giving them the chance to reach that honesty at whatever time that they need it to. I can, you know, give them the literature. I can, you know, give my opinion or my experience, strength, and hope. But it was great to come out of this shadow of being a fraud into the sunlight and to be who my higher power helps, you know, allows me to be, and which is an example of the solution. So I thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you. So Sonia H. in California. Next up is Becca R., followed by Barbara S.
Hey, it's Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Kentucky. Thanks for the meeting this morning. What stuck out to me was just that we had never actually told someone everything. And I came to a program after being on other 12-step programs, and I can remember never talking about this food stuff. And I was living this spiritual life and working the steps and growing towards God, but I was vomiting sometimes, you know, 6 times a day. And one day it's like I just woke up, and it's the lines crossed. Like, no longer was I able to pull it off. It's like the shades had been lifted, and I couldn't unsee. I couldn't unknow that everything I was doing was against what I was learning in this other 12-step program. And that was the beginning for me. It's if you would have told me years before that I was a dishonest person because I was living with an eating disorder and not knowing anybody, I mean, I wouldn't have even been able to comprehend it. But God, you know, thank God I stayed. I kept coming to OA. I kept staying in my other 12-step program. And eventually I was able to see. I think that's all I have this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Becca R. in Kentucky. Next up is Barbara S., followed by Alexis S. Barbara S., please press star one.
Yeah, do you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Barbara S. here in New York. I don't know what to say. I still think I'm not solid. I'm not solid. I believe and then I don't believe. It's hard to, don't kick me off the line. It's hard to believe in God. However, I partially do. Perhaps I'm an agnostic. I believe there's a higher power inside of me. There's a higher self and a lower self. The higher self knows how to eat and how to live, but I still don't fully do it. Reading the big book, reading all the books, I mean, it does help. After being on the meeting now, I'm more into my higher self. Perhaps I have to work program more. It's just baffling. I always say I'm on my third quarter in life, and I've been in program and have worked program to its fullest at times and then not. I started journaling again, and then I did 3 days, and boom, it was over. Well, it's not over. I could start again right now. It's just hard for me to be consistent, and I'm a little embarrassed admitting it in this very, very, very positive meeting. And I guess perhaps God and my higher self brought me to the meeting. I'm not home all the time at this, you know, at this time. So I guess it lifts me to believe to be on this meeting. I wish I can't be at the home at this time, but maybe I can. Maybe I can. Thank you. I pass. Bye.
Thank you, Barbara S., followed by Alexis S., and after Alexis...
Excuse me, what paragraph are we on?
We are on page 73, the third paragraph. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us through Chance for Recovery. And so after Alexis, I have an announcement, and then we'll open the line for more shares.
This is Alexis F. From New Jersey. God doesn't make too hard terms with those who seek him. I'm on the way for my spiritual experience. I can't say I've flown yet. I can't say that I've had times of indecision lately. I can't say that I don't have times of indecision lately. But I'm living in the day more. And there are times when I get thrown, like if I get a negative thought and then it precipitates down into a lot of negativity in my thought processes. It's part of my mental illness. I have another disease. I'm multi-addicted. And I handle that with a psychiatrist and a therapist. The therapist I talk to once a week, and the psychiatrist I talk to once every 3 months. I was very impressed by my stepson-in-law, who had problems with alcohol and mental illness, and he was just a picture of health and mental health and emotional health and spiritual health. And we're going to be seeing him again soon, and I can't wait to see him. It's just such a pleasure to see somebody recovered like that, to go from a state of shaking and saying things that are on their mind that are out of the blue, and then talking in a concrete way, and it just lifts my spirit so much. And that's how I feel when I come here and listen to the people. The clarity of mind, I think, is one of the things that I admire. It's not about the food. It's about the spirituality, and the clarity of mind comes from God, I feel. And I'm very grateful to be in this program, because I've hung around until the miracle happened. And in most cases, the miracle doesn't happen all at once, like the white light experience that Bill Wilson had. And I'm having a common garden variety of a spiritual experience.
Fine.
So God has me right where he wants me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis S. in New Jersey. So before we move forward, I have a save the date announcement. This is a save the date announcement. Write in your books, The Power of the Big Book Returns. This is a weekend event for a vision for you to delve into the Big Book. The dates are November 7th through 9th in Newark, New Jersey. The registration and the hotel are not open yet, so this is a save the date announcement, and you can always check our website at visionforyou.info to learn more. Okay, so just to remind you, we're on page 73, the third paragraph, starting with psychologists are inclined to agree, and finishing with chance for recovery. And if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday, please pass. If you haven't shared before, please jump in, and I'll take your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from if you'd like to share.
Kelly L., Washington.
Was that Kelly?
Yep, Kelly L.
Gotcha, Kelly.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie D.
Jody E.
Jody, California. All right, we'll move forward with these three, and then we'll have space for a few more shares after that. Kelly L., Ronnie B., Jody E. If everyone please mute except for Kelly, and go ahead, Kelly.
Hi, good morning, guys. This is Kelly L. from the state of Washington. And, you know, I just wanted to share a little bit on the topic of honesty because to be my biggest crutch in recovery. You know, obviously I can identify in with that paragraph about not being honest with doctors, therapists, myself really, while I was in the disease. But you know, honesty can crop up as a difficulty in recovery. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't want to share, right? Because I don't want to be honest about really what's going on for me in recovery. And, you know, that's such a deadly part of my disease. And what I have been learning recently is that every single time I share something I don't want to share, two things happen. Usually I'm not alone. Usually the person I'm sharing with says the exact same thing. And the second thing is, however that thing works, is the power that I need to address whatever's going on suddenly has the space to fill in. And it's almost always that necessary power that I needed, it comes right on in, and that thing is lifted. And so whether I'm struggling with being 100% honest about my food, or if I'm struggling in my nightly reviews about my relationship ideals and not living up to them, you know, so much shame in sharing that, even in recovery for me. But as soon as I do, it's the only way that I can continue to reap these benefits of recovery, maybe help others along the way, if that's God's will. But mostly for me, I can't do this by not being honest about every single thing. And, you know, my sponsor says we have to be honest about everything, but we don't have to be honest about everything to everyone. And that's been really important for me too, because, you know, I get to pick the people or the, you know, situations where I share all the things, or maybe at least listen in to what God would have me do. But that's what I'm working on here in recovery. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly L. in Washington. Next up is Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Thank you. Ronnie B., compulsive overeater for short. So honesty is a topic that, for me, it's like it's not, I don't have it as a blanket. So to say I'm in this program and every single day I am honest about every single thing when I need to would not be true. So I find what's helpful is just the truth about it, but I am honest in very many ways, which is a welcome change in my recovery. So I was thinking about the literature of the Big Book, you know, where there's a line that says, we lie when the truth would be just as easy to say. And I think I lie when it's actually easier to just say the truth. And so I'm doing that so very much more that when I don't do it, the pain is pretty high, right? So I've learned a new way of life. And when I deviate from that, even on a small thing, it's not helpful to my overall recovery spiritually, of course. So, you know, here's what I try to do on a regular basis. Literature also tells me to pause, pray, and proceed. So if something comes up, and I'm not sure how to answer it honestly, or I don't want to, or I get afraid, you know, fear crops in. If I just take that breath, if I just pause, I can say something like, instead of saying, oh, I'm really sick and I can't go to bingo with everybody, what's wrong with just saying, you know, tonight's one of those nights I just need to be in by myself. So perhaps the next time. Like, it's not the end of the world if I turn something down. You know, people are going to move on. And, you know, sometimes it's about a bigger or a greater thing. So a small example is, you know, my sister was in town, and we have this one difference between us that's really been an Achilles heel for the both of us. You know, and she takes care of this now 16-year-old and is highly defensive. And then, of course, my side of that is I give a reason to be defensive, you know, by my comments. So I had to look at that, and I am, and I have been, and it's made a change. And I'm like, why do I need to worry about that part of her life? It is none of my business. But when she was here this past week, which was lovely, you know, a couple of times I was just quiet and then thought about things, or sometimes just be quiet. I don't always have to come in with the artillery because now I'm in an honors program, right? That's just rough. If it's too much, and I can be too much. But a few times things come time. Thank you. Anyway, great topic. Thank you, everyone. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ronnie B. in Missouri. Next up is Jody E. in California, and then we'll take open up the line for some more shares.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., recovered in California. Very grateful for that, indeed. And honesty has certainly played a big role in becoming recovered. I never went to a psychologist before I got into program. I'm pretty darn sure I did not. But after I got into program, I did see a therapist. And, you know, and also as a working the 12 steps, it took a while for me to become more and more honest with myself and with others. I was at first terrified to admit all the things that I had done that I was ashamed about, and it took a while for me to even see some of them. So I have worked the steps several times because I've worked different 12-step programs, but also because I've relapsed, and every time I've relapsed, I've needed to work them again. So with each pass through, I've become more aware and more willing, and also so much less afraid. I now see that it is in my best interest for me to see all the nooks and crannies of my past and to flush them out and to admit to another person the exact nature of my wrongs. I'm not afraid to do that anymore, thank God. I liked what I heard about I need to tell the truth to someone, but I don't have to tell it to everyone. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be appropriate. Early on in my program, I did a so-called ninth step to my husband, which was actually very hurtful and harmful, by admitting what was my truth at the time and wasn't even the ultimate truth. So yes, indeed, we have to be careful who we share our truth, our history with, and our current reality, lest we harm people. As it says in the big book, we are hard on ourselves, but not on other people. So a sponsor is so very important to guide us in our ninth step work as well as our fifth. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. And let's see, we have time probably for about three shares, maybe four. Who would like to share?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Say your first name again.
Karen.
K-A-R-E-N. Thanks. In Missouri, was it?
Yes.
Thank you, Karen.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie. It is a great day to share if you've never shared before. You can just share even for a minute. You don't have to take up the whole 3 minutes.
Jan, Florida.
Is it Jan?
Yes, and L.
Jan L. Thank you, Jan.
Deborah S., Texas.
Great. So we'll start with those. I've got Karen K. in Missouri to start. Please, everyone else, please mute your phone.
Thank you. This is Karen K.Z. in Missouri. And what stood out for me this time in this paragraph, and I love that we keep doing these paragraphs over and over and over again, but we've seldom told them the whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. I have that underlined. Because not just psychologists, but sponsors, other family members, everybody, not telling the whole truth and not following advice. We get such wonderful advice from this big book. We get such wonderful advice from our fellows, our sponsors. And yet, for many years, I just did what I wanted to do. I mean, okay, thank you for that. I asked for your help. Thank you for that, but I don't do it. I don't follow through. And when it says we spend thousands of dollars, and I would say time in life, we're wasting our lives because we have people who are willing to help us. And yet we, myself will, doesn't want to do what they tell me to do. And of course, I learned in this program that if I'm not willing to do, to follow the instructions, I'm not going to get what this book promises me. I'm not going to get this wonderful life that I have today because I was willing to follow instructions. And for me, sometimes what people tell us may not be the whole thing. I always even tell my sponsees, I always say, okay, I want you to take it to God. I want you to go in two-way prayer, and I want you to ask God what is right for you. What is it that you need to be doing? Because that's the whole secret of my recovery and of my wonderful life, is that I invite God to take over my life. I invite God to take over my thoughts, my words, and my actions, so that people see that it's God working in my life. It's not me. It isn't like, oh, Karen, you're a great person. It's like, no, God is transforming me into being the person that you're seeing that you really like today. It's not me. All the credit goes to God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen KZ in Missouri. Next up is Sherry Josie, and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Sherry Josie, recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Yeah, I really love this paragraph, but I say that about every paragraph. That sentence, unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic people, we were honest with no one else. You know, the more I think about it, I mean, one of the reasons I love going through the big book like this is that each of these paragraphs, you know, I try to crack the nut, you know, like, what the hell is it about my personality that I resonate with this so much? And what really clicks for me here is the thought of, you know, yeah, it's about honesty, but I think more than that, it's about control. And I was thinking about, you know, the part of the literature that says, you know, periods of control followed by periods of still less control. You know, when I'm dishonest, I'm holding on to control. I'm controlling how another person sees me. I'm controlling, you know, the image that they may have of me, and preserving, you know, this false image that's different from who I really am. And the longer that I'm in recovery, and I'm grateful for continuous uninterrupted abstinence by the grace of God and being part of this program, the longer that I'm here, the more I realize it really all comes down to wanting to be in control and, you know, not being willing to turn things over and just let things go as they're meant to go. Let people see me as they're meant to see me and let myself be close to other people. I think that's another thing about the addict personality. Intimacy is extremely uncomfortable. I mean, emotional intimacy, letting the guard down, you know, letting someone in. And, you know, my very first sponsor, I still remember, you know, when I first started working with her, she would call me out on things, not in an aggressive way, but just in a very direct way. And I remember when that started happening, I think that was one of my first experiences of somebody showing me how to be honest. Again, not in a confrontational or aggressive way, but just being honest with me, like, what are you doing? She's like, what are you doing with that part of your program? You know, she's like, that you were just talking about, what exactly are you hoping to accomplish with that? And, you know, and so I think it's like letting go of that control first and foremost, you know, with the food and really surrendering that. And, you know, I just think that, you know, we have some, as an addict, I have so many barriers around me. And it's just a period of, you know, bringing those, process of bringing those barriers down and realizing all this control that I thought that I needed over food, over how people see me, over myself it's just not where the real joy of living is. The real joy of living is letting go of all of that and just kind of, you know, like it says, abandoning ourselves and just letting things be the way they're supposed to be. So grateful to be here. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry Jo C. in California. Next up is Jan L., followed by Deborah S.
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. Very grateful to speak and grateful for this meeting. This paragraph, I also, as someone else stated, worked in the helping field as a type of therapist and was very, very sick all that time and will always have a spiritual sickness of sorts that can only be resolved through one of the requirements is my honesty. So what I'm learning on my latest deep study is that there are different levels of honesty. So, and as was previously stated as well, when I'm dishonest, knowingly especially, it is a form of control and it is a block, period. My most common dishonesty in recovery has been about food, which simply does nothing except make food the focus and all the and create more reasons to have the food. My latest person I'm working with and my latest deep study really emphasizes that I don't have any choice but to eat, period. It has actually nothing to do with my trying to surrender my food. The spiritual malady, which I've known about in my head for years, but my head knowledge means nothing, is my real problem. And the food is simply the symptom. So when I'm dishonest about food, I'm just stuck in the symptom. I'll never get anywhere. So I have to really lean in on my need to be honest. And then later I can learn more about honest with my feelings, honest with my heart, which is where my problem is and where I have to let God in by putting down that food. In that trust. And then another dishonesty is my effort to find God. Well, you know, I simply just need to say, I'm here, God. I'm here. I don't know. I'm here. Can you come in? I don't need to do all job descriptions and all those other things that I did for years to create the God, because that's another dishonesty, right, thinking that I can do that. So thank you for letting me share. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Yes.
Thank you, Jan L. in Florida. Next up is Deborah S.
Hi, everyone. My name is Deborah S. Hi, everyone. My name is Deborah S. I'm from Texas. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful for this meeting and everyone's shares this morning. The paragraph comes to me and makes me think of all the therapists, the psychologists, the psychiatrists that I have gone to all my life thinking, you know, this is the one, this is the silver bullet, this is the person who's going to pull me out of this horrible disease that I have. And I never meant to be dishonest, but I was probably never 100% honest about my food behavior with these people, just because I was so ashamed. And I just thought, how can I share, you know, the amount of food I eat or my food behaviors, because it's just so weird. And I think that unless the therapist had my disease, I really don't think they would understand. And so over and over I heard, you know, just stop eating when you're full, eat intuitively. Well, for a person like me, there is no stopping. There is no stopping, because there is never enough. You know, I would eat sacks of this or that and be totally miserable and want more. And until I read the doctor's opinion and realized, oh my goodness, I have an allergy. And it was the first time that I ever forgave myself in any way and said, you know what, maybe it's not my fault. Maybe the physical allergy is what causes me to eat like I do. And I know that now. And what gives me so much comfort that I haven't gotten anywhere is being able to look another fellow in the eye and share my crazy behavior and have them look back at me. And if we were together, every one of you would probably reach out and give me a hug. And I know you would understand, and understand more than the people closest to me, my family, my daughter, whomever, because we all share this disease. And I know now that all those times I went to therapy, the big missing component was my conscious contact with a higher power, whom I choose to call God. And now when I have those horrible feelings of self-doubt and fear and low self-esteem, you know, I can pray about it. I can call another fellow. And I know now for the first time in my life, and I'm going to be 70, and I found OA 4 years ago, that I can get through a moment. I can.
Hi.
Okay, thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Deborah S. in Texas. Thank you, everyone who shared today and sharing your honesty. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Becca R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him, fellows. give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you. Oh, my goodness. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.